we're talking.
Hello, you're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the TypeShed 11 conference in Wellington, New Zealand. It's Sunday, February 15th, and our guest is Bruce Connew. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're a bit of an odd one out, you could say, for Type Radio, being a photographer, but nonetheless, not less interesting, I would say.
Are you religious?
Am I religious? In my own way, I suppose. But I can't be accused of being Catholic or Protestant. Although my family, and this cropped up some time ago, my family goes right back to the Huguenots in France, and we were ejected by the Catholics. And I always wondered when I was growing up in Panmure and Auckland why we always fought with the Catholics. And it, now that I know where we came from and that we were Protestant reformers and escaped to London finally during the massacre of St. Bartholomew 1582 or some such, I sort of understand where the emotions of religion became involved in my life.
Do you have rituals?
As a Virgo, you always have rituals. They're mostly rituals of order. I like to tidy things up.
You could be a designer then, because they have the tendency to be like that.
Well, some do, but then some designers are very untidy from what I can see.
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think there's a difference between design and photography? In ways of approach.
I mean, it's interesting, actually, because when I was at art school, very briefly, in the early 70s, there was a book that was recommended reading. It was recommended from another book. And it was a book called The Poetics of Music by Stravinsky. And he had given a series of lectures in the 40s. It's way back, the 1940s. And I remember reading that book, and if you took the word music out and put photography in, it became a book about photography. And in some ways, I think with design, you could do a similar thing. So is it... in terms of expressions and meanings and developing ideas. And I think design, photography are similar in that. I mean, Paul Elliman mentioned the word manipulation in the context of graphic design and in the current political systems we have in the world. And I think that's pretty well right. I might say persuasion rather than manipulation, but it's you're in persuasion, manipulation, not always for bad things, but for good things as well. You're trying to persuade people to a particular idea, whether it be to buy a product or to vote for a political party, whatever it might be.
Is it possible that is it any way possible that photography can be completely? I always get the two words, not objective, but subjective, the two that are...
Can it be objective?
Objective in any way?
For me, no, it's not. I mean, nothing, I don't believe, is objective. It's... maybe there are photographers who don't have opinions or clear ideas. Maybe they're more about grids, in the way that some graphic designers are, that the grid is more important than the content or the idea that you're dealing with, at a lower level. But certainly, once you get more experience or become interested in the wider meanings of design and photography and what they're for and what they're doing, then. Yeah, I don't. I've lost the train on that one.
If photography was
can be objective.
Can be objective. No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I've never thought that. And I've always felt that there's been that it's subjective. And even if you take a straightforward, simple photograph, it's all an accumulation of your education, your experiences, good and bad ideas, even to the extent of the how you woke up in the morning. Are you in a good mood, a bad mood? All this subjective personality becomes part of whatever you do, and I think that's the same for graphic design, but certainly for photography, and certainly for the documentary social political work that that I'm involved with.
How did you get? And what sparked your interest in photography?
I mean, a good question. I'm not completely sure. Even now, when I look back and retrace the history of the career, it doesn't go back to a clear point. This is what worked. I mean, I bought a camera and a long lens, so I didn't have to get too close to people and photographed around Australia. I remember on a big journey driving around Australia, but. In terms of ideas and thoughts and using photography as a means of expression, I can go back to the 60s when everyone of my peer group were involved with the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Who, and all of those, the music of the 60s. My interest was far more political. It was the Kennedys, the Cuban Missile Crisis, I can remember. Apartheid, I can remember being introduced to apartheid when I was 12 years old by a school teacher and being completely struck by it. And that was around the time of Sharpeville. And then after that came, I mean, the 60s were so big politically, the civil rights movement in the States. There were major things going on in New Zealand as well, although they were, from a media point of view, quite repressed between Maori and European. But all that was developing, and that's where my interest was. So finally, when photography poked its head up and sort of gave me an opportunity to express things that I had thought deeply about then as a young man, I sort of grabbed it.
So it's basically a political motivation that you managed to challenge through photography?
Well, again, it was never clear as that was developing. It's only as I look back now and see the sort of work that I've done that it definitely has a social, political bent. I don't just say political, as social is important as well. Mm. But that has, without question, been the direction.
Have you been criticised for your point of view?
By my children, by just about everyone. The point of view was quite sharp earlier on, which is natural as a young person until you realise that the world's not quite black and white. There's a lot of grey activity going on as well. And I think that comes with maturity, exploring more, beginning to understand how things work, that life's not so simple, and that it involves people. And as you deal with people, I mean, even in an organisation, which can be considered an institution, perhaps, like a government institution, in getting access to that institution, while there are rules and there's a sort of blankness of who's who, you still end up dealing with one person, and that one person can affect what happens on any given day.
You have a lot of books have been published over the years. I was wondering if the book is a goal in itself, or is it just a sort of a side project of an ever ongoing process of creativity? Do you need that form, that sediment form of a book to sort of, okay, this is the project and we're moving on, or it's just like
the projects have never begun as books or exhibitions. I mean, the projects begin with as an idea with a possibility. And again, it's approached from a social political point of view. There's something I'm interested in the South Africa book. It was obviously apartheid. There were at the time that I went in 1985 was a major political time for South Africa, but New Zealand as well. And there was a strong connection between the two countries. It goes back a long while. And manifests itself more particularly in sport. And there was this idea that sport was not political, and the All Black rugby team was due to go to South Africa to tour. But the protest movement here, the protest against apartheid, made every endeavour to stop that tour, and finally they were successful at a political level, and the tour was stopped politically. And my inclination was to go to South Africa, and certainly with a journalist, and there was some problem with the magazine I worked for, and I couldn't, and I left the magazine and went anyway and met up with the journalist. But the idea was to follow the rugby tour around South Africa, but not see the rugby, just look on the other side of the fence at the towns and cities that the rugby was going to. So it was a wander through apartheid was the idea. Now, should that be a book? Should that be an exhibition? I mean, who knows? Should it just be a few photographs in a magazine? Who knows? When we discovered the access that we were getting, and the access wasn't just into Soweto or I mean, it was into the strong political movements there that allowed us access, and said, I mean, wonderful sort of power and strength, said you can do whatever you like, you can use it for good, you can use it for bad, whatever you do, it will make no matter to us. It will not be important because we will affect our own destiny. And that was impressive. I found that extraordinary, and given the circumstances. So we wandered through South Africa and came up with this material that finally I rang a gallery in New Zealand and said, I've got this material, shall we have an exhibition? And I was offered the exhibition at the National Art Gallery and came back and we produced it. Then it became a book, and the journalist wrote a long story. Winnie Mandela, before her fall from grace, wrote an introduction, and it became an important book in New Zealand because it was the first time New Zealanders in a book form, exhibition form, had looked hard at apartheid at a time that was politically important for both countries.
And was that because the government would not make political statements about apartheid towards South Africa, or was that not?
Well,
there's
a strong fellow feeling between South Africans and New Zealanders, and the government at the time was the government of the Second World War, still peopled by politicians who had been through the Second World War, and there was an empathy with South Africa, with other people of that time. So to actually go against those people you had fought with in the Second World War, I mean, this is just one part of it, became difficult for our then right-wing government, who probably had their own ideas, but there was a very strong movement in New Zealand, huge, that felt strongly against apartheid, and worked stridently to have some influence on the politics of the time.
But is an exhibition the best sort of channel for something like, or is that not a limited number of people that go and see that?
The exhibition?
Yeah.
I think again, in the context of New Zealand, for me, a book is always the final thing, because you can expand on your idea in a book. Magazine, you can't. An exhibition comes and it goes and disappears. And I suppose, given the time in New Zealand, in 1985 through 1987, the connection with the public was much easier to achieve. So the work began to capture the imagination, because it was the right thing at the right time, and fitted strongly with certainly the protest movement.
You're listening to Type Radio, typeradio.org.